Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say. We're calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, blood warning that Indigenous people's mental health conditions are escalating significantly due to fear, anxiety and social isolation. Thanks to COVID-19. We're going to catch up a yarn now with the National CEO of the Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia, Tony Stevenson. Tony, very good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Good morning, Trevor.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very serious conversation here in regard to our people, First Nation people, and the mental health conditions escalating. Look, is that because of COVID-19?
Well, you know, it's certainly playing a part. depending on where we are across Australia, of course, in particular parts of Australia that's had long periods of lockdown, that's really affected our connection with community and family.
Yes.
You know, there's also plenty of places around Australia where people have lost their jobs because of COVID, and that's placed additional stress and anxiety as well.
So there would be communication with GPs across the country, and is that the feedback you're getting, as well as communication with organisations like Lifeline?
Yes. So we're actually finding now that 7 in 10 discussions with GPs involve a conversation about mental health. Now, that's a bit of a staggering statistic when you think about it, you know, discussions with GPs. But I think there's a positive note to that as well, and that we feel comfortable talking with our GP, particularly Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisations around
yes.
the country, you know, very well placed to provide that safe environment for people. We know that we can talk to our GPs confidentially, so that talk about our mental health, and I think for many people it may be the first time that they've felt comfortable talking about themselves.
Look, I suppose it puts a different spin on the so-called phrase, we are all in this together, and that is the case with mental illness in this country.
Yeah, it absolutely is, Trevor. It's a very good way of thinking about the fact because, you know, in many parts of our communities we do tend to discriminate somewhat sometimes with people with mental illness. That means that people don't always feel comfortable about disclosing their feelings, their emotions, particularly if they're feeling quite anxious or depressed, you know, because they actually fear the stigma that
yes.
they'll get talking about that. So we've got to break that down.
We
That's
do.
Really the opportunity we've got, actually, for people to be comfortable to reach out and get help.
So for people out there who are sound in mind, they need to be more open and respectful to people who have picked up mental illness, yes?
That's right. I mean, just like we would be interested in anyone at all, you know, in our family or community that's not well for whatever reason. You know, generally we want to know how they're going, wish them a speedy recovery. We want to reach out and offer them some help, you know, in any way we can. But often if it's a mental health illness that's involved, we're not quite so open about that.
Sure.
We're still got those fears, you know, about how to talk about it.
Yes, exactly. So there's got to be some work, more work done in this area to look after our First Nation people with mental illness.
That's exactly right. But I'd certainly encourage people, you know, just to reach out to the health service. that's a good place to start.
Yep.
You know, whatever's going on for you, you know, if you're feeling that you're just not sleeping well, you're not able to focus and concentrate on your work or your study or whatever.
Mm.
You're a little bit grumpy with your family.
Sure.
Things don't seem to be going well. Then it is an opportunity just to check out your mental, and it might be something pretty straightforward that you can do.
And virtually, with the message we're probably putting across the airways is for anybody out there, it's probably just like a sprained ankle or a twisted knee. You go and get it checked out. So if you're feeling that way inclined, you're not thinking right, it's just a checkup, you know, and to put light at the end of the tunnel or get your mind thinking right, yes?
Yeah, that's right, Trevor. We have to think about our mental health just like we would think about our physical health.
Yes.
And get on with it and get some support. What we find is that if people don't really get the help at the right time, you know, if there's a more serious illness involved, then often, you know, it doesn't get addressed for years.
And, yes.
And it just spirals out of control. And people end up in hospital.
Sure.
Sometimes long periods of time, they're in an acute mental health ward.
Mm.
And that's it's a very difficult time for people. When they come out of hospital, they might have lost contact with family or community, and you know, if they don't have a place to go when they get discharged, then they risk being quite isolated and maybe even homeless. So we've got to get people with the right support at the right time.
Exactly.
Out of hand.
But I think it starts with that man, that woman in the mirror, having that conversation, you know, as I mentioned earlier as an example, sprained ankle or whatever, twisted knee, you're going to get it checked out. Well, when you're checking out with the doctor regarding your mental health, it may be giving you a couple of days off work, and the doctor's giving that the A-OK on that, and that in itself could be relaxing and helps with your thought process, yes?
Yeah, it can do. So certainly, you know, look at that man or woman in the mirror, but also look at the one next to you.
Well, exactly.
In your family, too.
Exactly. Support and help from the loved ones.
Yeah, that's right. We don't always notice what's happening to ourselves. I notice, someone in our family, they start to be acting a bit strangely or, you know.
Different.
A bit different. Yeah. So that's a good time to just give them a bit of a nudge and say, look, you know, why don't you go and have a talk down the health service and see if there's anything more that...
Well, both parties take the day off work, go to the doctors, then go for a lunch on the waterfront and do something different or something you haven't done before that you both love, you know?
Exactly. But, you know, certainly talk about these things
thoughts
more openly. That just provides a safer place for people to start talking about it.
Look, thank you very much for sharing, Tony. A very important conversation to all our mob out there. Help is only a phone call away. The people are reaching out. You've got to reach back. That's what it's all about. Tony, thank you very much. All the best to your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Thanks for your support.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tony Stevenson, his name is, National CEO of the Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia, acronym MIFA, and it's very sad but blunt warning that Indigenous people's mental health conditions are escalating significantly due to fear, anxiety and social isolation. So it's about reaching out for the help and the support, and we as loved ones need to look out for our loved ones and nudge them over to the doctors and get it checked out and have some time off work and have that conversation, and it's okay to get checked on in regarding your mental capacity. Very important, and thinking of your mob out there. So have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Meditation here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service, 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray call, let's have a yarn.
We believe this world will go forever. but facts reveal what we believe are true. Yes, we're tearing our world all to pieces. Our mother, the world is dying slow. She wants a wife, she can't go on living with destruction. And look above me at a star that twinkles brightly in the sky. When a streak of light fell from the heavens, like a teardrop falling from my mother's eyes. Yes, I know.
On your mob, it's me, Bush Takabanji, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, too deadly. That number again is 1-800-422-416. Give me a call, have your say. And yarn with the baldy one, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. All right, the latest federal budget has been released, and we're going to catch up a yarn there with federal member for Leichhardt, Warren Inch, on the line. MP, Warren, very good morning. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, my friend.
Good to hear your voice.
This is the baldy one from Leichhardt.
Baldy one from Leichhardt. Yes, hair's overrated anyway, I've always said.
I always say the same thing. It's a sign of intelligence, my friend.
Exactly.
You don't have any, and I think you and I are in exactly the same league.
True. Now, listen, Morrison government delivers tax relief to support hardworking far north Queenslanders. Let's talk about up here in the north. And in regards to the, well, the acronym here is LMITO, which is the low and middle income tax offset. So please explain how we're sitting in regard to the tax relief support.
Well, actually, tax relief is quite relevant to a majority of people that have actually got a job. That are paying more than 30 cents in the dollar. I mean, as you go up in your income, you can pay up to 49 cents in the dollar. But we're going for the lower income ones that would be probably, you know, from around a 37% tax. So what's going to happen is everybody's going to go earning 100 grand or less, you'll go down to 30 cents in the dollar. So that means more money in your pocket. More money you can spend, and that's anybody, you know, that's anybody, I guess, that's earning anywhere from about 25,000, 30,000 up to about you know, $80,000 to $100,000, they'll have a single tax rate of 30 cents in the dollar, which is going to make a big difference. You know, in the higher end of it, you're talking a couple of grand a year that you're going to save out of tax,
sure,
instead of paying a tax.
And it's better in your pocket than somebody else's.
Yeah, well, it's in your pocket and you can spend it. There are some specific things in the budget. I haven't had a chance to go through it all yet, so it's going to take a little bit of time. I mean, the budget papers that I picked up last night, because I'm in Canberra, there's enough of them. You need a pack horse or a donkey to carry them.
Yeah.
Any of them. It's huge. So it'll take a bit of time, but there are some things in there that are specific to your listeners. First of all, there's an additional $78 million, additional funding for another 78 kilometres, of bitumen to extend the unsealed roads from Pomperau, Kawanyama, the NPA, Northern Peninsula, and Lockhart River, extending their sealing. So that to the Peninsula Development Road. As you know, we're doing the Peninsula Development Road as
yes.
we speak. Well, this is additional funding to go to those communities to allow them to continue their sealing, so that you're going to have sealed roads between Kawanyama, between Pomperau and the Peninsula Development Road from Arakoon Peninsula Development Road. Something that the councils have done a great job.
Yes.
To what they've done to date. They've done the work themselves in many cases, but this gives them the additional money to extend. So that's very, very exciting.
We're talking about more employment there. We're talking about safety on roads. We're talking about access from community to community. So a big plus there.
And environment too. I mean, a lot of people don't realise when you're driving through creek beds and on in the dry season, you have a look at all the trees. They're covered in dust, and you know that dust. This gives you good sealed, safe ride, which means you've got all access. You get all weather access, which means to say you're not having to wait on barge deliveries or air freight deliveries, which just jacks up the cost of commodities during the wet season. So that's going to be significantly improve quality of life in these communities. The other one too, where there's a very significant investment in affordable housing, including a focus on putting money up there to encourage community members to buy their own homes.
Exactly.
So building on that initiative, that's another very, very significant one, Trev, and something that I very strongly support. And, you know, when you travel around, there's people around the communities want to own their own homes. If you go out to places like Hopevale and, up into the... Up to Lockhart and places like that, they're really keen to own their own homes. This gives them the opportunity to do that.
Well, since the last budget, I mean, COVID-19 wasn't in the equation, was it?
No, it wasn't. And you know, I mean, when we're talking about the figures now, I mean, they're eye-watering. I mean, the amount of money that's being spent. But it's absolutely necessary.
Of course.
What's interesting to see is while we're still being impacted, see, a lot of people, even in the Leichhardt, there's a lot of people, a lot of places there are not being impacted by COVID at all, you know, from, there's just business as usual.
Yes.
It's only places like Cairns and Port Douglas predominantly, which are highly dependent on tourism.
Yeah.
You know, and particularly international tourism. They're the ones that are seriously impacted. And really, they're not going to recover until the Premier allows the state borders to open into New South Wales and Victoria, because that's where the bulk of our visitors come from.
Exactly.
So there is a special package for places like Cairns and Port Douglas until it opens. But a lot of the others are not impacted. And I was surprised to see that at this point in time, about 60% of Australian business is back on track.
Yes.
And so, which is...
Light at the end of the tunnel.
There is light at the end of the tunnel, but there's a lot of money there for those businesses that are now up and operating. There's a lot of money there to help them expand their businesses, There's a lot of money there to pick up additional staff, incentives to do that, so that they can pick up those and increase that from 60% upwards. There's also money there which we haven't sort of identified the projects yet, but some of these are really big. For example, and these ones will benefit all through our region. There's $1 billion there for local councils to do upgrades of facilities and things like that. $1 billion there. That means to say the money's there, and as the council identifies projects, they'll be able to put in to do those. There's another very, and this will be through the Building Better Regions project, and we get some great benefits out of there. There's another $2 billion that's been set aside there for upgrades on roads, etc. And this will be a use it or lose it. So it's not being allocated to any specific area, but as councils and state governments identify projects that they need, they can put in an application for them, and if they're a qualifying project, they'll get it. They're not going to just sort of sit money in the tin waiting for somebody to apply. So it encourages people to get and do something straight away. There's another here for $1.5 billion for renewable technologies. This is quite exciting. I mean, for example, the Woodsville community is talking about converting their power to a... hydropower.
Yes.
Torres Strait are talking about going to hydrogen from diesel. So this
looking outside the square.
We'll provide them with opportunities for doing that. There's $2 billion there for water infrastructure.
Okay.
You know, the likes of the Lakeland Dam and others there. This means there's money sitting in the tin.
Opportunity for business owners to put a tender in or create a business. A new industries could be starting.
Yeah, and there's some little ones there too, which I've got to drill down on. You know, for example, there's another $450 million to go to CSIRO for the work that they're doing. But I noticed there's a little one here, $67 million to go into an oceans program for regeneration of mangroves and seagrasses.
Okay. TOs and rangers and what have you?
Sorry?
That'd be good for TOs, traditional owners, and their rangers.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But it's about, you know, re-establishing mangrove forests. And the other thing here, which I only found out recently, CSRO has done a real lot of work on this, and they have the capacity to be able to regenerate seagrass meadows.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, because a lot of these meadows have been destroyed over time through trawling and things like that.
Mm.
This is an opportunity to regrow those.
Excellent.
Re-establish them.
All right, fantastic. So there's movement happening at the fort, so to speak, and regarding the budget and for our mob in the far north.
Very significantly, you know, there's hospitals, schools, aged care, disabilities, mental health, a whole lot of these things as well.
Mm.
So all of these things, it all adds up, but it's eye-watering, the numbers. But understand also when people say, oh, well, you know, you know, we got such a big debt. We do.
Yeah.
But when you compare it with other first-world economies, you know, similar to our own, we still have by far the lowest ratio of debt to GDP.
Sure.
Of any country, the best in the world.
Mm.
You know, better than America and all the Japan.
Well, the economy globally is struggling thanks to COVID-19, but you're saying our head is above the water. We're treading.
Well and truly above the water. And understand, as country, and this is something to remind people of, to any of your listeners there that are concerned about the debt being carried on, which it will be for some time.
Yes.
But understand that as COVID is not going to disappear, but as it's managed... which it will be, and as we recover from what's happened there now, we have all the resources there, which will come back in huge volumes. People wanting those resources as they re-kick off the economy. We've got massive agricultural capacity here.
Mm.
People will be wanting to buy those again. So all of these things, we've got them sitting there.
Yes.
And that will all contribute to our recovery. because there will be a huge amount of competition looking for our natural resources and our agricultural and horticultural products. And so the other good thing that's come out of it, of course, is that we realise that we can't afford to continue to rely on other countries for a lot of our critical needs. And this is why we put, there's $1.5 billion has been invested in this budget to modernise manufacturing. You know, back, if you go back, you know, 30, 40 years ago, we were, oh, sorry, actually a bit more than that, 40, 50 years ago, 30% of our GDP, the 30% of the money that was earned in this country was through manufacturing.
Yes.
Now, that's slightly...
Great opportunity.
Yeah, we've slid that, let that slide.
We can focus in on that.
It's easy to get cheaper stuff coming from other places, but I think we realise that we've got to maintain, we've got the education and we've got the technology, and so what we're doing is encouraging Australian businesses to start to look at manufacturing stuff that we need in our country.
Exactly.
That's quite exciting.
Look, thank you very much for sharing. We'll be in touch, Mr. Warren, with Warren. Yeah, thank you very much, and we'll yarn soon, eh? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Trev, and all the pleasure, mate.
Okay, bye-bye.
Trev Murray from the Curry.
Murray from the Curry.
I like bald Trev. It goes with bald was.
I hear you. Thanks, Warren. That's Warren Inch, MP, federal member for Leichhardt, and our yarn about the latest federal budget, mainly in the top end here of Far North Queensland, and seeing where, how we're travelling thanks to budget, but all up in the air regarding finance and the debt that we're in, this whole country and globally. Have your say, yarn and strong, add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the ball around Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from the Curry.
Baka. Black sister, where you going? How you doing? Where you been? I ain't seen you on the scene for a couple of weeks. By all means, stay on your own. You gotta do your thing. But please don't sell your soul for a couple of jakes. Embrace your black skin and your race within. You're blessed by your blackness and your dark skin king. Raise strong black kids, forever's drugs in the bin. And you'll be bound to make your old people look at you and grin. Stand strong like the matriarchy. And titter, I'm higher than the stars can reach. You ain't gotta act different when it comes to me. I believe in your sister, take a walk with me. Your two deadly sister go and hang your head in the noose. I know you're sick and tired of dealing with the drugs and abuse. You're too strong, my sister, you know, the deep of a root. Black woman in a white man's world. It's tough, being sexualized is all we've left. That's enough, you're worth more than getting treated like dirt. Show love and give your sisters what they truly deserve. Respect, we're sick and tired of getting treated as less. Saying that sex sells, but I got no products for pets. The way you treat your woman has you looking real oppressed. She got her law, you got yours, it's time to have it addressed. If she stands with you, then stand with her. Cause handing down this feeling is a bigger picture. Got nothing to do with your sexual preference. This is about our solidarity, that's hidden question.
Yeah, for my titties, that's Baka here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. If you're on the shy side, don't act. We know you're not. 045-714-0550 is the number you can text to and have your say that way. Otherwise, BBM 987 FM. Check us out on Facebook as well. Facebook, your big face. Check us out. Yarn and Upstrong here on National Talk Black. We're going to go to Which Way Yarning segment, which is the run by Edmonton Police. And thank the guys and girls in the blue uniform. And this is proudly sponsored by Pocone IGA, Brinsmead in Edmonton. And they give us a box of fruit here once a week for a school-based traineeship. And we promote healthy living, healthy lifestyle. So we're going to catch up a yarn now with Nicole O'Rourke, Senior Constable. And she's brought Steph with her. Steph, coordinator with the co-response team, and we're talking about the Cairns youth here, and also they've got bodyguard here, Bo, who's constable. We're going to yarn to them all. Yarn up strong. Very good morning to you all. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Steph, to get that microphone a little bit closer to you.
Oh.
And as well as
good
yourself.
Morning.
Morning. Fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Good. Start with you, Nicole, my sister. Thank you very much for coming to the program.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your position there with the Edmonton Police?
Yes.
And that is, so your position?
Oh, so I'm general duties.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. And Steph, coordinator, co-response team. So a bit of background in regard to your position. And,
bit of background. Okay, so my role is coordinating our new team of police and youth justice workers.
Yes.
Called the Cairns Youth Co-Responder Team. Would you like to know a little bit about what we do?
Please do, yes.
Yep.
Okay. Which is our topic today, yes.
Our topic today.
Enlighten
All right,
me.
So... basically, this is an initiative that's been formed to tackle our youth crime problem that we have at the moment.
Mm.
Okay, so it's basically aimed to reduce unnecessary remand in custody, divert young people from the youth justice system,
sure,
provide early intervention support for young people, and reduce the over-representation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people who are involved with the youth justice services.
Yes.
Okay.
Very sad, but our numbers are high with our young First Nations kids, you know.
Yes,
so we need to bring those numbers down.
But we are.
Yes.
This has been operating since start of July this year, and we have had a decrease.
Okay, fantastic.
Yes.
Good news.
Yes. So
it's not a trophy we want. We don't want high numbers.
No, we don't. But we find that we've just got a brand new car with a beautiful Indigenous design all over it,
Ooh.
And rather than... when we pull up and the kids run away, they actually flock to us.
Well, and it's about conversing, having a conversation, building that relationship, building that bridge,
isn't
it?
That's exactly right. Overcoming those barriers and that we are there to help. We're not there to lock them up.
Sure.
We want to help them.
Yep.
Reduce their chances of offending, help the families,
yes,
get them back into school. Support the families with any way that we can, and that's what we're doing by working together,
okay,
with Youth Justice.
So how long has the co-respondent team been operating for?
Since start of July.
Start of July.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. So it's a new position that you've taken on, is that
it
right?
It is a new position, yes.
Fantastic. So, look, it's about looking at ways of building that bridge and building that relationship, you know.
Yes.
So here we are, started in July, co-respondent team. Mm-hmm. Numbers are down because of that. So,
yes,
it's working. It's, mm-hmm, you know, any number dropping down is a good thing.
It is a good thing. It is a good thing. And we have a lot of kids, for example, kids that are on bail.
Yeah.
Our team... they pay regular visits,
mm-hmm,
out to the families and give good work,
sure,
comments to the kids that were home for curfew, that sort of thing.
Mm.
I think our message is getting out there amongst the communities that they can call on us,
yes,
for assistance with getting kids home or getting kids to court so that we don't end up with a warrant or anything like that, getting their matters finalised. Missing persons, we do a lot with missing persons, missing kids.
Yeah.
Yep. We've been, a lot of kids, they're not actually missing.
Mm.
They're just out.
They choose to be not
having
found.
Fun with their with their friends.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So we find them, and a lot of the times all we have to do is send them a message on the co-responder phone, and they message back and go, hey, I'm here if you want to come and chat.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
Good.
We're getting some good results.
Well, the phrase, it takes a community to raise a child. So we're all in this together. It's about all working together to guide our young ones who,
yes,
may be a little bit lost and what have you,
you
know.
That's right.
And give them inspiration or aspiration to be the best that they can be.
That's right.
You know, staying out of trouble.
Yep.
So what were you doing before this, Steph?
So I'm a detective with the Child Protection and Investigation Unit. Child protection is a passion of mine.
Okay.
So... guess with that background, I'm also a teacher as well.
Okay.
So combining both.
In your former life?
In my former life.
Okay.
Yes, I was a teacher.
So how long have you been a detective?
I've been a police officer for 20 years.
Yes.
And I've been a detective for... I have my detective's appointment for about 13 years now.
Okay, fantastic.
So, yes.
Bring Bo into the conversation. You're a long way to go to catch up there, Bo. You're a constable, a new person to the position.
Yeah.
So where do you stem from, Bo?
I come from the Sunshine Coast.
Sunshine Coast.
Yeah.
Right, fantastic. So how long have you been in the role here in far north at Edmonton?
It's my third month in the job.
Third month?
Yeah.
All right.
Still getting to know the area.
Enjoying it?
Yeah, so far.
Yeah, fantastic. Aspiration to always be a police officer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you do before being a police officer?
I worked for the government in the prosecutions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. With the vision to become police officer, and now it is fruition. Here you are.
Yeah, here I am.
And going for Steph's job, yep. They're looking at each other too.
Not quite just yet.
Sorry, brother. Nicole, look, a very important conversation. Thank you very much for bringing the guys in. We are talking about looking after our young ones.
Yes.
And look, a lot of our young ones out there in trouble, sad to say, but high numbers in regarding Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander youth.
Yes.
And we need to bring those numbers down. But it is a team effort. All of us need to do our bits, teachers, parents,
everyone.
Brothers and sisters, everybody, eh?
And thanks for having us. It's because I really wanted to raise more awareness about the youth co-responder team and what we do in the community. So it's...
Look, it's a great thing. Do you know of this happening anywhere else in other cities, towns?
Yeah, we've got, I believe it's 5 co-responder teams around Queensland.
Good.
So it was initially developed in Logan, a community initiative down there, and they had some really good results there. So now it's we have 5 operating in Queensland.
Do we have PLOs at the table as well?
We do.
Yes
we
very
do.
Important.
So very important, and they're doing a great job as well.
Well, as we say, with our mob, nothing beats black on black. So when you have a police officer with that black skin conversing with our young ones, that's a good bridge builder.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Fantastic. And male and females, of course.
Definitely.
Girls can do anything. You got my back here, bud.
Yeah, certainly can.
And about having the ladies at front and centre as well.
That's right.
So this has been operating since July, and with yourself, Senior Constable Nicole, do you have anything to do with the Cairns Youth Responder? How does your job entail?
I have. So I have worked in the co-responder team and engaging with different families at that point in time who needed us. And
yes.
Also, as part of my role when I'm not working in the co-responder team is to help, we provide support to the to whoever's working in the co-responder team at that time. So whatever help and support they need from first response, general duties, we will be there to help to do that.
Fantastic. You were saying, Steph, that you support the young ones as well regarding court cases and things like that as well, do you?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because it can be a bit daunting for some of these young ones the family as well, you know?
Very much so. So we can provide that support there. So if a young person is unfortunate to be placed in the watch house, we go in there and do a welfare visit and just have a general yarn and see how they're going. And sometimes they have questions like, what's going to happen to me if they've never been in there before? We can also, we make inquiries to locate a parent, carer. We go out, collect them, bring them in. We can sit in court and support the kids as well.
Yes.
So it is a completely different way of policing, I think. But I think it is working, and we do have the results. And I just want to say that the Cairns co-responder is topping the stats.
All right,
the
there
state.
You go. There you go. Beautiful.
Yep.
So that's good to have a competition at the table. Yeah, us versus them, so to speak, the other cities, other towns, you know.
Good for us, not
good
for them.
Good for us, that's right, yeah, yeah. But we're talking about young ones who are making wrong decisions and what have you. The other side of the coin is the constituents of the city, the town, who've been become victims of the crimes, you know.
Yes.
And sometimes they feel as though, like, sometimes a slap on the wrist to these young ones and then they you know, scot-free, it gets frustrating for the constituents of the city, yeah?
It does. Yes, it does.
So we just need to...
Well, you know, all we can really do is just embed that in the young person that, you know, there's right and wrong, okay, and there's consequences, but, you know, by working together... we can get you out of this and get you a better, you know.
Well, the phrase of bringing my kids up, yeah, you're a good boy, you just did a bad thing.
Yes.
You know, that's
just made a bad choice.
Made a bad choice, there you go.
Everyone makes bad choices, but everyone deserves a second chance, and
Exactly.
That's what we try to exactly. do.
Team effort. All right. Yeah, Bo, back to you, bringing into the conversation there, my friend. Don't you roll your eyes, my brother. We need to talk and talk about your new position. Probably any words out there for young ones out there looking at a career in the police force?
Yep, just...
yeah. Any wise words?
Stay out of trouble and...
But it's a good industry, pathways in regard to workforce and climbing up the ladder, so to speak, yep?
Yeah, there's different pathway entries for, different people. Mm. So, no matter where you come from, if it's something you want to do, then,
So tell us your pathway in regard to being constable. Is this your first appointment up here in Edmonton?
Yep,
and so, where did you do your training as such?
So I went to the Brisbane Academy.
Okay, yep.
And just recently finished down there. So this is my third month in the job.
Third month, and they're straight up here to Edmonton.
Yep, up in Edmonton.
Did you have a say when you were posted? Did you want to go to Perth or Tasmania, or you thought...
No, definitely no. In the bounds of Queensland.
Okay, thank you. Queenslander all the way,
yeah. Queensland people.
Yep.
But yeah, so very fortunate to be here.
Good, excellent. Well, enjoy that journey and welcome to our city.
Thank you.
There you go. Sound like I'm a mayor. Welcome to the city.
Welcome to the
there
city.
There you go. Under the radio, Nancy, on Murray Radio, that's all. Hey, beautiful yarning with you all. Thank you very much, Steph. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Bo, nice to meet you. As always, my sister, Nicole, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me again.
Too deadly. And we'll yarn soon. All right, guys.
Thanks. Take care.
Lot. Thank you.
You too.
Yeah, beautiful yarn. Yarning with the guys and girls in blue. And that was Edmonton Police. And that segment, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pecone IGA, Brisbane, Edmonton. Give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipa Media for our young ones. And speaking of young ones, that topic there was Cairns Youth Co-Respondent Team doing a fantastic job. Started in July and have brought the numbers down regarding court cases and dramas going on with our young ones out there. But as we mentioned in the conversation, it's a team effort. It takes a community to raise a child. So you, the parent, need to do your bit. Struggles sometimes. It's hard. Yes, I'm a parent, I know. Teachers need to do their bit. People in the community need to do their bit. But the young ones as well. Look at that little brother, sister in the mirror and talk to that young brother and sister. And hey, say, check yourself before you wreck yourself is what we say. All right, Too Deadly, have your say. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Bally One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking you right through 12 noon Queensland time. National Talk Black, Too Deadly.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by yarning up strong here on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. We're going to talk to Professor Eileen Baldry from University of New South Wales, Deputy Vice-Chancellor, Equity, Diversity and Inclusion. We are talking about Susan Ryan, the late Susan Ryan, gender equity advocate and human rights and anti-discrimination campaigner. On the line, Professor Eileen, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm really well. Lovely to talk with you.
Lovely to talk with you. Thank you very much for coming to the program. We're talking about the late Miss Susan Ryan, who passed at the age 77, September 27th. Look, a strong woman, a gender equity advocate, human rights and anti-discrimination campaigner. Tell us about this beautiful lady and how strong she was for equality.
Oh, look, thanks, Trevor. I'd love to talk about Susan. Susan Ryan was an extraordinary woman, a woman for her time, but in some respects an outstanding woman of her time. She came to... She was a member of the Labor Party, and she came to the Labor Party in the 70s as a member of the working parties and being involved in the Labor Party's mission to make things more equal, to bring in more equity. But she had a very particular, and quite rightly, very particular direction around women's rights. Because at the time, there were very few women's rights. For example, you know, if you were in the public service and you got married, you had to leave the public service.
Yeah. Because one rule for one, different rule for another.
Exactly, exactly. And there were many things like superannuation, a whole range of things that were not available to women at that time. And it was easy to discriminate against women. And Susan Ryan herself became a single mum. She joined the Labor Party. She became a member of Parliament. And then with the Hawke government in 1982-83, she became the first woman cabinet minister.
Fantastic. And look, she was stepping into the so-called boys' club, wasn't she?
She certainly was. Everybody else around that table was a male.
Yep.
And she held herself with poise and with humour. She was always sort of polite, but she was never cowed. She stood up. And she argued so clearly. But, I mean, it's really important for everybody to understand that she had the Prime Minister, Bob Hawke's, absolute backing. And that's really important. So
yes.
It's a big part of that story. But she's known for many things, but perhaps the key thing she's known for is introducing the sex discrimination bill, which then became an act, the Sex Discrimination Act of 1984, which in today's world, particularly with the Me Too movement, has gained more attention. Almost 40 years on.
Yes.
Extraordinary that that introduced a whole range of things about you cannot discriminate against women on a whole range of things, and it included sexual abuse. So this was an extraordinary bill at the time, and I would like everybody to know that the United States still doesn't have a full sex discrimination.
Go figure. Exactly.
The same way as we do. So it was, there were many excellent things that came in, and since then it's been strengthened. But Susan Ryan was also a pragmatist. You know, she said, look, let me get the best I can at this point, and we'll improve it as we go along. So what you saw with someone like Susan Ryan was her absolute commitment to equality.
Yes.
And equality of men and women, of different genders, of people who identify as different genders, people who identify as people of colour, of different cultural background.
Yep.
She was a champion for all of that.
But she also would have been a great inspiration for women in general, and girls can do anything, and rise, sisters, you know?
Absolutely right. And look, she was, after she left politics in the 90s, she became someone who was just so generous with her time. She gave so much time to her sisters, but also to other areas. So she... aging. So she became the Aging and Disability Discrimination Commissioner for a period of time just a few years ago.
Yes.
And she contributed enormously there. She also contributed enormously to universities and to school. She started off her life as a school teacher. So she was trained as a teacher, and you can imagine how wonderful it would have been to have her as a teacher in those early, in her early days, because she understood how important it was that everybody had the opportunity to a great start in life.
Exactly.
And then a great finish in their life as you get older. So she was someone who we owe a huge, great debt to. She was a human rights advocate, and she mentored so many younger women and women into not only politics but into the whole area of
Of life, business, sports, all the above, you know. She's created the platform for all women to rise.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, powerful.
So, and she never, I didn't ever see her become despondent. I mean, you know, she faced so much opposition.
Yes.
A lot of opposition, as you can imagine.
Of course. Because men have got egos, you know that, Professor.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're sensitive type beings, we are.
You're sensitive flowers, Trevor, exactly. Yeah. Well, look, you know, she just met these things head on.
Yes.
And she, you know, she addressed things with firmness, with surety, but also with compassion.
Yes,
and
exactly.
She brought people along with her. You know, she was an extraordinary person, and people, she was a great Australian, and people, we will miss her very, very much.
Yes. But I like to think that there are plenty of women out there picking up the baton, no matter what field, and are taking a page out of her book, so to speak.
Well, indeed, and that's what you're seeing. You saw yesterday and seeing today, so many women are writing.
Yes.
You know, that Susan Ryan is an inspiration to them. Not only an inspiration, but there is, in a sense, an obligation to carry on her work.
And look, she picked up so many honours and awards, but she wasn't doing it for the honours and awards. She was doing due diligence, the job, and like you said, the passion, and operating her life with love and with leadership.
That's exactly right. And then perhaps one of the other things, which is so fundamental that I mentioned earlier, was justice, social justice,
yes,
justice for everyone. And that her holding up that as a light, for all of us, and for everybody around that cabinet table when she was a cabinet minister, and then when she became discrimination commissioner, and then in all of her roles at many universities, and in many volunteer groups. You know, she volunteered at a time all the time. It was always holding up.
Yes.
We should have a more socially just society.
Hear, hear.
And that's an inspiration for all of us, men and women.
Exactly.
All of us.
Look, thank you so much for sharing.